It is a wonderful world. You know, the Seth material is a collection of writings dictated by Jane Roberts to her husband from late 1963 until her death in 1984. Roberts claimed the words were spoken by a discarnate entity named Seth. The material is regarded as one of the cornerstones of the New Age philosophy and the most influential channel text of the post-World War II New Age movement, other than the Edgar Cayce books and A Course in Miracles. John Climo writes that the Seth books were instrumental in bringing the idea of channeling to a broad public audience. In a moment, Mark Alan Frost back with me on Coast to Coast. He now has 12 books that he claims he has written with Seth. It's an amazing story. His latest is called The Visionary Chronicles. Mark is with us next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie back with you, Mark Alan Frost back with us, holding a master's degree in counseling psychology from Dominican University, currently is the channel for the metaphysical author and educator known as Seth. I gave you a little background there. We'll talk more about Seth. Mark and Seth have now written 12 books together. Mark also channels Seth to provide readings to clients around the world. Mark, welcome back. It's been almost a year.
It has. Thank you very much for having me on again, George. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. It's a great time to have you on as well. For a lot of people who are trying to figure out and ascertain, who is Seth? What is the Seth material? I just gave a little explanation about Jane Roberts. How did this connection for Jane occur? And then how did you pick that up? And then tell us who Seth is.
Well, it was sort of serendipity. I was going to Dominican University. I had plans on becoming a marriage and family therapist, but fate had something else in mind. I had a little hypnotherapy practice off campus. I called it Deep Humor Hypnotherapy, and I used humor and positive emotions to help people overcome phobias, quit smoking, that type of thing. A woman phoned up. Her name was Cass Smith. She wanted to have a past life regression, which was not something that I knew much about. I was interested in it. Fortunately, my mentor at the college knew a lot about it, and he gave me some suggestions to give her, which I did. She came into my little office. I gave some inductions, and in literally a couple of minutes, she was experiencing an apparent past life as an unfortunate Christian being devoured by lions in the Colosseum.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And so I said,
what a way to go, huh?
What a way to go. I said, project your consciousness out of the body. Don't be in the pain. And tell me what you see. And she described the lions cleaning the meat off of her bones. It was pretty quickly. I brought her out quickly after that, and I thought to myself, well, we're going to write a book about past lives. This is a real thing. It was very impressive for me. I was sort of on the fence at that time, but this was the clincher. And we decided to meet the next week around the same time. And in the interim, she phoned me up and said, I'm picking up on some communications from a spirit. He calls himself Seth. She was doing the transmission meditation that Benjamin Krem did with people around the world to contact the Maitreya. But this Seth guy kept bumping into her meditations, saying that he wants to write books. So I said, Seth, well, bring him in. We'll try to bring him through with hypnosis and see if this is real. I really didn't think it was real. I thought I was being pranked by my friends at the university. I was about ready to graduate.
Okay.
And it just seemed like...
Well, and that's logical. So that's logical to think that would happen.
Yeah. It took a while for me to believe. So she came in the next week, and we briefly gave her some inductions with an end toward bringing through whatever this spirit was that was talking through her or to her. And in a matter of seconds, her eyes popped open. And she said in this sort of guttural voice, "I'm here. You asked for me, I'm here." And I said, "Seth?" And he said, "Yes, Mark." That kind of startled me.
Wow.
How does he know who I am? So I started asking some confirming questions that only Seth would know, stuff that I knew from researching Jane Roberts, primarily around her health. Why did she have to pass away at an early age in her 50s?
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Well, she was a smoker, Mark. She wouldn't stop, and I warned her many times." And that sort of blew me away. It seemed like a logical answer.
Sure.
But still, I thought, boy, this is an elaborate prank. This is very well done.
Whoever's doing it is doing a great job, right?
I thought the guys in the psychology department were putting together this thing. But I became convinced shortly thereafter, because Seth started talking about how he brought Cass to my office. He directed her to go through the hypnotherapist and the Yellow Pages, and he had her hit on my cute little ad for deep humor hypnotherapy. And that's how he brought us together. The next week, we began writing 9/11, The Unknown Reality of the World. In a few weeks, we completed that and published it, and that was in March of 2002. So it'll be 18 years this March.
Wow. Now, exactly who is Seth, Mark, and his last physical life was when? Do we know that?
I'm not sure about that, but he has had physical lives, human lives, but he says that now he no longer has a need for a physical body. He is in what he calls the light body.
So he's done reincarnating.
He is done. But he still likes to write, and so he comes through people like me and helps us to publish his books.
I mean, might he have been an author in one of his other past lives, and that's why he likes doing this?
I think he sort of hinted at that. He used to be a spice trader. Those of you in the audience might want to read our book, his autobiography. But he was a spice trader. He also dealt in contraband.
Really?
Drugs of the time.
Oh, boy.
Opium, cannabis, and that type of thing. So he has a negative history, as far as that goes.
I'd like to say your books, his books, I guess it's both of your books, they kind of focus on helping humanity and kind of awakening people, don't they?
Well, they sure do. Yeah, the first three books, the subtitle was Communications from Seth on the Awakening of Humanity. And that was back in 2002 when people were really not talking about the awakening. Now it's on everybody's lips, the awakening. Something's happening. Things are changing. We're becoming more conscious. There's talk of there's been a lot more UFO sightings lately.
Yeah, they sure have been, and good ones too.
Really good ones, verifiable ones. So there's this dimensional shift that seems to be occurring, what Seth calls the fourth dimensional shift, what other people are calling the ascension, and so on. I think he's basically talking about what a lot of New Age theorists and teachers, humanity is waking up.
Well, when he talked about Jane Roberts smoking, it doesn't sound like he can stop it. He can recommend, he can say something, but he can't kind of intervene, can he?
No, there's sort of a law of non-interference, if you're familiar with the Star Trek.
Yes.
And it's real. Those of you who want to read about my struggles can read the Visionary Chronicles.
That's basically the latest book, right?
Yeah, it's an e-book, $3, so very cheap. He basically asked me to do certain things over the course of a year and a half, and I resist and I deny. And it's only in retrospect do I see, my ego is trying to run things. And it does so to my detriment, because if I had taken advice a year and a half ago, I would be further advanced. I'd have a happier life. So the law of non-interference cuts both ways, I guess.
He has talked about negative leaders and negative gods. What does that mean?
Well, that opens up a whole can of worms here.
It sure does.
In his new forecast for 2020, available on our website, is all about the negative leaders being overthrown by visionary leaders. His theory, and it's one that I've sort of validated in my researches on the internet and talking to people who know, that the negative leaders that control this planet, our rulers, our politicians, are, let's say, inspired by the negative gods. These are not
manipulated.
They're being controlled, I think. And in the same way, I would guess that a person who loves Jesus, tries to live a good life, is inspired by doing good works and so on. With the negative leaders and their gods, it's the opposite. And it's all about control, manipulation, doing what the negative gods want.
Has Seth made you, Mark, a more understanding person, a person more enlightened?
I hope so. You'll have to ask my wife about that. But
put her on. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, I will. Actually, she has in the bio, I forgot to mention, I said that she is a blogger or something like that. She's actually an accomplished author and has 27 published articles on amazing subjects. She wanted to talk to you for about a minute, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure. When do you want to do that?
Okay.
She right there?
You want to do it now?
We can do it after the break.
Okay, after the break.
Okay.
Okay, just let me know.
Sure thing. We'll do okay, that. What's her first name?
Her first name is Carol.
Carol, okay, great. And next hour, when we take calls, you channel Seth, don't you? So you take questions from our listeners, but Seth takes them too, right?
Yeah. Seth, he sort of takes over my apparatus, as he calls it.
Okay. When you get into that mode, in terms of timing, how does that work for us to take phone calls with you? I mean, how long does it take for you to get into that mode?
We are melded at this point.
Okay.
Last year it took a few seconds, like 20 seconds. This year
I remember
it's almost
that.
Instantaneous.
Okay. Your voice changes?
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Somewhat. So it's not like with Jane Roberts when she sounded like a man, but it changes a little.
Why would Jane dictate to her husband? Was he the one who was composing this as Seth was talking to her?
Oh yeah, he had this system of shorthand that he developed.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And he listened to the words and then wrote them down in shorthand, and then I guess he deciphered them and put them in sentences, and that's how they published it. But I had some communications with him. He was a cool guy. He was amazing.
She did die too soon. You're right about that.
That's right. She did die too soon. The thing about those two is that they were two people in the same, almost in the same consciousness. Carol and I are a lot like that. We finish each other's sentences and so on. She didn't want to take on the Robert Butts role, but often, let's say, we have sessions together when we cover private issues and that type of thing.
Would you say that Seth is a well-intentioned entity?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so he's not demonic or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, for that reason, off often I don't use the word entity because it brings up horror movie cliches.
No, yeah. No, it does.
Negative
You're right.
Entities. Now, don't get me wrong. Seth theorizes that there are negative entities. We just talked about the negative gods. There are negative entities just as there are positive entities. Negative gods and goddesses, just as there are positive gods and goddesses. But Seth is a benevolent one, and he comes apparently from the fifth and sixth dimension. He has no longer a need for a body, but he has a really keen eye on what's going to happen to humanity in the what he calls a probable future, meaning what will likely happen to us if we continue on this particular trajectory of development.
That doesn't sound like good news.
Oh, surprisingly, it is good news.
It is?
Sure.
Are we on the right? Are we on the right path?
Oh yeah.
We are. Where?
We're going up. We're ascending. The negative media. I hate to be so negative with the negative leaders and the negative.
I get it.
The
I get
media.
It.
But it is true. The negative media presents a picture of dire desperation.
It's all over for all of us. That kind
yes,
of thing.
Yes, exactly. Because why? Well, as Seth says in the new forecast, it creates division. And meanwhile, the negative leaders exploit us. They take our money. They do what they want. They pass laws in their favor that don't favor us. That's the way that works. And in essence, I think that's what the awakening is. In fact, the main part is awakening to how we've been, I was going to say screwed, but I'd say manipulated and used by negative leaders
yeah.
around the world.
Well, that's an interesting point. So it does sound that Seth has our back, basically, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, he does. He is... he's a light body, a being of light, if you're familiar with that term.
Mm-hmm.
And he has expressed himself, his presence, to people, according to what he's told me over the years, for thousands of years. And some people interpret that as, oh, that's my intuition. That's my God. That's my goddess that's talking to me. And some people know him as Seth. But I think the idea that Seth died when Jane Roberts died in 1984 is poppycock. He's been around forever, and I think he'll speak through humans long after my demise.
Is he speaking only through you right now, or does he have other entities, other humans, rather, out there?
Well, that's a tough question. Each person that he comes through...
I guess we can ask him later, huh?
Sure. He'll probably say, oh, sure. Many, many souls he talks to. He keeps telling me that. But I think I'm the only one that's writing books and spreading the message like this worldwide. But he is available to counsel people within what he calls their mental landscape. There is a... sort of have to have this connection. You have to be a part of the Seth entity, human counterparts.
Is he doing this, Mark, under the direction of any of a god that's basically telling him, Seth, get the word out?
There's another sticky question.
All right.
There's apparently, I mean, this is Seth, and I believe him. There is a group of higher dimensional beings he calls the Council, the spiritual hierarchy, who oversee these reincarnational experiences of us humans, our lives. And they are there for counseling in between lives. I had one association that is...
Hold on for a second, Mark. We're at the break. We'll come back and talk more, and then I'll have you hand the phone over to Carol for a little bit. We'll chat with her as well. I want to get her take on all of this and what she thinks. And in the final hour, we're going to open up the phone lines with Mark Alan Frost, your questions. But he channels Seth, and you'll be able to talk to Seth as well. We will take your calls next hour with Mark Allen Frost and Seth, of course, your choice, talking about questions of 2020 and the future, and hey, let's see where we're headed. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Mark Allen Frost, his latest book with Seth, The Visionary Chronicles. Mark, does it ever get to the point where Seth just wakes you up and you can't get any sleep?
That happens sometimes, yeah. It usually means he wants me to add an important thing to one of the books. The dream state is a good place to connect.
With you.
Yeah, yeah, with yeah. People generally. People like me that have guides, there's millions of us, we pick up on their information when in the dream state, and we often wake up with their words on our lips.
Now, give us a little introduction into your wife, Carol, and then I'll chat with her for a little bit.
Well, let's see. We've been married. How long have we been married, honey?
You got to ask her, Mark?
Well, I'm a guy. Right? We got married in 2005.
All right.
So that means how many years?
14 years.
14 years.
Even I knew that.
14 happy years.
All right.
For the most part.
Go ahead.
She is basically the office manager and takes care of business here, helping me. And she also acts as an intermediary between me and the clients. She knows a lot of our phone clients, and they know and love her. So without her, this business could not go on.
This would not happen. Well, let's put Carol on for a little bit.
Okay. Hold on a sec.
Sure thing. We're going to be talking with Carol Frost.
Hi, George.
Carol, how are you?
Well, this is sort of a dream of mine. I am a longtime listener and a frustrated caller because I never, ever got through on your line. And when Mark was able to speak in December of 2015, I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was like winning the lottery. I just could not believe it at all.
Well, he's been a great guest. Now, what do you think of all this? When he started channeling Seth, and this Seth material would flow through him, now 12 books, I mean, did it scare you at all in the beginning?
Well, I have a science background, so I was skeptical.
Okay.
And the first time I had a Seth reading, it was simply, you create your own reality, you create your own reality, sort of over and over again. And then the next time I had a reading, I had a project involving nuclear energy, and I wasn't happy with it, and I had to submit it to an editor. But I wasn't happy, and I asked Seth, what am I missing? And Mark had no idea I was going to ask him about it. He also, you know, he's a husband. He wasn't really even aware that I was working on this project about nuclear energy.
Okay.
So I asked Seth, and Seth said the big thing about nuclear products of nuclear fission, like when an atom bomb goes off, what scientists don't understand is that these particulates occur, like an atom bomb goes off and then there's radiation, but you don't know when the particle is formed. So unless you're looking 2 weeks, 3 days, and 4 hours into the process, you might not discover that nucleotide or whatever. And he had a full description of nuclear stuff. And I mean, Mark, if you ask Mark about nuclear, he's lucky if he spells it right. I mean, he just doesn't know about it. And that blew me away. And then Seth gave me keywords so I could go on the web and research the article. And when I did that, I connected with, all, you know, on the web, all these scientists that could help me write the article, because I couldn't very well write the article and say my husband channels.
No, that wouldn't catch on with them, even though it's accurate.
Right, right. And Mark, at one point, was very concerned about the sudden oak death, and he asked Seth about it, and Seth said it's a fungus.
Hmm.
So Mark called up the man that was, I forget the guy's name, it was an Italian name, a researcher at UC Berkeley, and said it's a fungus. And the man was like, how do you know that? And I don't remember if Mark told him how he knew it, but he said he insisted, it's a fungus. And the man said, well, you're full of it. And then a year later, that scientist came out and said, it's a fungus. So, you know, I mean, it's like Seth knew it before this top researcher did.
Interesting. Well, this is something else. What do you think of Seth now that you've had these years to really grasp him?
Well, I've always loved Jane Roberts, and so it's sort of in a lot of ways unbelievable, but on the other hand, I don't know. I guess it's sort of like if one day you woke up and there was a polar bear in your backyard and he liked you and he was your friend. I mean, at first it would be really, really weird, but then
it catches on.
Later it would be sort of normal.
Yeah,
right?
It does. Do you think, Seth, if we talked about him in terms of age, is a younger man, an older man? What do you think?
Oh, I've never even thought about it in those terms. I think it's that he has the combined wisdom of all the many lifetimes that he had experienced on our planet and possibly on other planets.
What do you think his mission is now, Carol? What does he want?
Well, he told Mark at the beginning that the reason this contact was being made was because of the 9/11 event that had propelled our nation into a warlike stance that we hadn't had since Vietnam, and that this warlike stance was possibly bringing us closer to a doomsday scenario. And so he wanted this wisdom to be reignited and put back out there.
And we haven't stopped yet.
No. And what I wanted to bring about is I developed through the universe something called a joy healing.
Joy healing. Okay, what is that?
Can I talk about it for like 90 seconds?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's a very powerful script, and it came to me back in November 2006. Mark and I had really gone through like a year of just unremitting onslaught of, you know, not doing well economically, health-wise. Everything was falling apart.
You're human.
Yeah. And it had gone on for so long, and it was at a time when the whole country was booming. Everybody was flipping houses. No one had sympathy for us. It was like, you know, what's wrong with you guys? And when I just tossed myself on the floor and covered myself in a blanket, and I wasn't being dramatic. I just said, as a matter of fact, universe, you really have to step in right now because nothing seems to be possible for us, and I can't do this anymore, and I really need help, and please help. And so I did that, and I fell asleep. And when I woke up, I felt like a completely different person. I had light surrounding me, and I knew the world held a lot of possibilities. And the entire script for the joy healing was in my head, so I found some paper and a pen, and I wrote it all down. And then I convinced Mark to let me read it to him, and he had the same experience. And then 2 weeks later, Mark opened up his email, and we had received that Random House in Germany wanted the first two books Mark had written, and they sent us $10,000.
Jeez.
And so, you know, what this does is it resets you so that you experience the sort of joy that you had as a child, and so that you, like, eliminate all the cultural programming that pushes you away from that joy.
Is it a series of exercises? What is it?
It's a script, and it's like a visualization, but it turns out to have all sorts of Jungian symbols inside of it, which, you know, I didn't know till years later, and I stumbled on a book on Jungian symbols.
Is it on your website?
Yeah, it's on SethReturns.com, and you just click on the friendly hummingbird that's right at the top of the page, and you can find it, and it's there. And Mark's looking like he misses talking to you, so I'm going
to... We'll get it back. Okay, thanks, Carol. Nice talking to you.
Thanks, and I'm delighted to finally reach you.
I'm glad, and thank you for listening to the program all these years.
Yeah, we'll continue to do so. Thank you, George.
Super. Thanks, Carol.
Hi, George.
She sounds like she's a great lady, Mark. You're a lucky man.
I am a lucky guy, yeah.
Super. Where were you born?
I was born in Ogden, Utah.
And how about her?
She was born in Chicago.
Chicago.
Yeah.
The Windy City.
Chicago girl.
Well, they're all good.
She's still a Chicago girl, even though she's been living here for umpteen years.
Ogden's a great spot, too. Well, okay, we'll get into this. The next hour, of course, we'll take phone calls from people who may want to talk to you or channel Seth, and we'll get into that, too. In terms of, tell me a little bit about this beginning of 9/11. What happened? We know what happened with 9/11, but what happened with Seth in that contact with you?
In that contact, well, it was odd. he does this thing where he's talking through me, where he shows me something. He calls them holographic inserts. You can experience it by reading one of his books too. He puts a subtle message in the text of his books. That when you read a certain passage, it catalyzes, I'm getting really deep here, it catalyzes brain activity in the reader and shows them stuff that's not immediately noticeable in the text, in the words. And it's pertinent to each individual that reads the words. He calls it a spiritual subtext. I got a lot of that when I was printing and editing and so on the 9/11 book by reading over and over these passages and feeling the subtext and noticing that it was inevitable that the 9/11 events happened. It was a turning point for humanity. It was a learning experience for millions of people, and it was a product of the negative leaders.
Interesting.
You could probably see that coming.
Yeah, we can.
These revelations are coming out hot and heavy lately, so I don't think I'm telling the audience anything they don't already know.
Does Seth get frustrated when he passes on this information and world affairs don't change?
No, I don't think he gets frustrated. I get frustrated when people say that, well, that's not Seth, or you're wasting your time, and so on. But he doesn't have those emotional inputs. He is essentially a teacher, a really good teacher, and a very patient guy. He does have, it's sort of this benign, loving aspect to his personality that really comes across to me when I'm channeling, but to people who are witnessing me channeling, like in our public events. He creates a sort of milieu of loving, benign wonderfulness in our events.
Do you think you would like him if you met him as a human being?
Oh, yeah, yeah. People have always talked about his grandfatherly tone. There's that famous portrait of Seth by Robert Butts in which he is sort of beckoning the seer of this image to come forward, to sort of come into this other dimension. He has a grandfatherly tone, but I've learned over the years that's his style. He does that so people will listen to him. He does that to calm people down because everybody loves the kind grandfather archetype, right?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
Does he ever lose his temper, Mark?
Seth? Not that I know of. Not with me.
Okay.
But he does. I cover this in the Visionary Chronicles.
You call them his books. Aren't they also yours?
Well, I'm more the messenger.
So is he dictating almost all the material to you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Like he did with Jane Roberts.
Like he did with Jane Roberts. Except I eliminated the middleman, and for me, it's a sort of automatic writing where I'm in front of my computer, or sometimes I write out longhand in a tablet, and this stuff just comes out. I write it down or type it, and it comes out in intact paragraphs.
In any given book, how long does it take for you to channel him to finish the book? Is it a month, 2 months? How long does it take?
Well, when I got back from India, I was totally ready to write the death book because I was postponing writing about death because my parents had passed away, and I was sort of avoiding grief, as I do. Some people do that. But I decided it was time to get to work. And so in, I'd say, 4 weeks, I wrote 2 books, The Reality Creator's Handbook and Seth on Death and Dying, 2 little books. And they came out intact without punctuation, obviously.
Yeah.
But all I did was punctuate, put spaces in, paragraphs and so on, and printed them.
Is Seth excited about the next year or two? Are we going to have some pretty good years ahead of us?
Oh, yeah. He is. I think you could say he's excited. He sees the probable future. And from what he's told me and what I've talked about in the forecast, we're in for a lot of good stuff. But first, there is, the revelations of what Seth calls the worst of the worst.
Mm-hmm.
When people find out how badly they've been hoodwinked.
Yep, and manipulated.
By powerful people, they're not going to be happy. They're going to feel like tools. They're going to feel like slaves. And that begins this mass awakening.
If Seth would say it's going to be cloudy tomorrow, will it be cloudy? I mean, is he accurate all the time?
You know, he's accurate eventually. He's on a totally different time scale. And he'll make some predictions about us and about what's going to happen. When are we going to make it big? That type of thing. When are we going to be able to pay the rent was the thing a few years ago. But
interesting. Well, we're going to take calls. We're going to take calls, Mark, next hour. Don't be offended if everybody wants to talk to Seth, though, okay? Mark Allen Frost with us. Calls next.